if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, amongst whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Alright,
when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word,
all other kingdoms shall perish.
Amen. Thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, for the last few Sundays, we have been teaching a series that we are calling, and I wrote it up here this morning, WWJD. If you remember that movement a few years back, was What Would Jesus Do? And put out a lot of bracelets with that on. And I certainly have nothing against that movement. That's something that we need to think about all through our daily lives. What would Jesus do? We started out in Matthew 4, and we taught on the Lord how He dealt with temptation. We looked at the tempter. We looked at the fact that He was led up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, by the Holy Spirit of God. So it was God's will that He go through that. We looked at how He combated the evil one's temptation and how He did it with the Scripture every time.
Amen.
Every time when He answered Satan's temptation, it was with, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Powerful is the Word of God. That's an example He's given to us. That's how we must deal with the temptations of life in our everyday walk. How? With the Word of God. With the Word of God.
Amen.
It's what's right.
Amen.
And it's the only book that is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired writers of old to write the Word of God.
My God.
Man cannot add or take away from this book. When he does, he pollutes it every time. So we looked at the temptations. We won't go all over that again today. But we do notice when Satan took the Lord up into a high place and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan told Jesus, he said, "I'll give you all of these. It can all be yours if you will just bow down and worship me." Well, Jesus knew what we now know, because we've been enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, and that is that all these kingdoms of the earth, they're all going to perish. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be long from this moment.
Amen.
We are in the last days.
Hallelujah.
It's all going to perish, but God's kingdom is forever and ever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to continue this morning, and you're probably not going to be surprised that we're going to begin in Philippians chapter 2. All right, Philippians chapter. I listed several things when we began this study. And, of course, they were in line with what is Jesus Christ teaching us with His life. Well, He taught us priorities, didn't He? He did. He said, "Put ye first, always put first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, anything that you need, will be added to you." God knows what we have need of, doesn't He? And oh, what a provider He is. All right. Philippians chapter 2. Here we go. How does the life of Jesus Christ influence me? Jesus did teach us about the priorities in life. He taught us about our relationship with God. He gave us examples of our relationship with God. All right? So, Philippians chapter 2. In verse 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And he, Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We just sang, "Trust and obey." Jesus gave us terrific examples over and over in the course of his life of obedience to the Father. He went to the Father in everything. He trusted in the Father in everything. He gave credit to the Father in everything that he talked about. In verse 12, Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that doesn't mean that we can work for salvation, but in the light of Jesus Christ dying for us, the Holy Spirit of God changing our heart, He has given us the will, the desire to obey Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So, for it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Why do I want and seek to please God? Why do I want to walk like Jesus Christ? Because I have a new and living heart that loves Him. With that same powerful love, that agape love, as Brother Chuck spoke of earlier. For it is God which worketh in you. We can't take any credit for that, can we? No, because it's God that works in us to will. And that means to want, to desire Him. It's Him that works in us that causes us to love Him and to want to be like Him. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, that's when the works come in, after He saved us. And no, we're not bound by the law. Praise God, our Savior kept the law and gave His life for us. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, verse 14, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We certainly live in a crooked and perverse nation at this time. How do we do that? Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life. We seem to lose contact with that fact. This is the word of life. It truly is the manna from heaven. In our study, our goal is to go through Jesus' life on this earth and to study and look into the examples that He left us and to learn to be like Him. We know that God's in control of our lives. We know that we are predestined. Paul said in Romans 8, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be like Him. So where does the strength come from? Where does the power come from? Where does the saving knowledge come from? It all comes from God, doesn't it? We give Him all the praise and all the glory. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, in chapter 3, our relationship with God, Jesus Christ left great examples. Desiring a closer relationship with God is our goal. It is the desire of our new heart. All right, and it is the evidence, our desire of God and wanting to be like Him, desiring Him more in our life, is evidence of a reborn heart. It's evidence of someone who has been quickened. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise God, if you are desiring Him this morning, if you are seeking Him this morning, praise Him, because He has caused you to love Him.
Amen.
Because He first loved you with a powerful and mighty love. A transforming love. Now our sin is still a barrier to a full and accomplished fellowship with God.
Amen.
But let me tell you, it's coming. There's a day coming when we won't have these sinful bodies anymore.
That's right.
And we'll be able to praise Him completely.
Amen.
In a correct manner that pleases Him. That day is coming, and it's coming soon. It'll be fully known in glory. All right, Philippians 3 and verse 8. Or let's start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, of course this is Paul talking to the church at Philippi, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now we can compare that to our lives, apply it to our lives. Anything that I've gained in this life, on this earth, that is earthly, wood, hay, and stubble, all the things of this earth, it's nothing compared to my spiritual life. It's nothing. As Jesus knew, when the tempter told him, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth, Jesus knew they're going to burn up. Because it's in God's perfect design and plan. Well, it's the same true with us. All this stuff that we've accumulated, it can't take the place of God in our hearts. We can't go after it and leave God behind. That's what Paul's saying. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Oh, if there's any boasting to be doing, we can boast in the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that He has given us. Because it's by grace. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or manure. Nothing, something you leave behind, that I may win Christ. So he's touching on that race, isn't he? He said to run the race patiently, with patience. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, not depending on some decision that I think I was smart enough to make. No. But you see, when God sees us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are covered with His righteousness.
Have mercy, Lord.
His righteousness. See? That's where all of our dependence must be.
Amen.
On the cross of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us.
Get ready.
All right. Verse 9 said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. We've already talked about the law some. Are we to keep the law? Certainly. Are we to obey God's word? Certainly. But can we do it so that God will be pleased with us enough to save us? Of course not. As Brother Chuck said, we are an inheritance of Adam. We're in the lineage of Adam. That fallen nature, that very first time that man rebelled against God, caused death to mankind. And that death is separation from God. The only restoration possible is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And faith. Faith in that blood. I was saying that we're going to be looking at the life of Jesus on earth and how it influences our life and how we need to follow Him. What I meant to keep saying was, at this point, I'm still laying a foundation for who Christ is, who God is, and where we fit in God's economy. All right? So that's why I'm over in Philippians. That I may know Him, verse 10, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the God, of the dead, sorry. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now that verse is a mouthful, isn't it? Let's go back over it. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but we were all dead in trespasses and sins, including Paul. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Praise God that he apprehended you. And now you seek him. Because that's the only way that salvation works. There is no other way. There is no other eternal kingdom. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus revealed to us, by example, his relationship with the Father. What it was like. He completely depended on his Father for daily direction, as do we. He depended on the Father for power and provision, as do we. And he obediently carried out every instruction. That's where we fail, isn't it? We don't obediently carry out every instruction because we still have this sinful flesh within us. But praise God, we are alive in Jesus Christ. We have the desire to follow him and to be like him because God has been merciful to us sinners. Praise the Lord. I tell you, seeking Jesus Christ is our lifelong goal.
Amen.
As we seek him, he strengthens us.
Amen.
As we draw to him, we are drawn away from ourselves. And you know that we are actually our worst enemy. We don't Amen. Think that way. Because we look around and we see all the people who are against God's way. We think that they're the main enemy. Well, let me tell you, this sinful heart is still within us.
Amen.
This sinful nature is still here.
Amen.
And we are attacked not only from without, but also from within. All but faith in the faithful God gets us through every day, doesn't it? Every day is a new day to praise him, to seek him.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior. He came to this earth and he gave his life. He hung on that cross, and when he did, he had my sins and your sins on him.
Amen.
He died for you that you might live and that eternally. He was buried in a tomb, but 3 days later, he arose. And there was something missing from when he went in that tomb. And that was your sins and my sins.
Amen.
He has put them as far as east is from the west. What a Savior.
What a Savior.
Give him the glory. What a God.